flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tailgate.
It's time for the tailgate.
Toss me a cold one. Nothing better than a 7 a.m. beer and an unbrushed mouth.
Your official weekend destination for all things football.
You are looking live.
The granddaddy of them all.
NCAA.
Travis Hunter circles around down the sideline. There he goes. The most dynamic player in college football. Touchdown, Colorado.
The NFL.
Williams, pressure coming. He felt it. Looked. Saw it. Evaded it. Still on the move. Looking around. Williams is going to take off for the end zone.
It's like it's its own playground.
And now, it's time to kick off the tailgate with your host, Paul Pabst.
You ready, champ?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
On Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to the Tailgate 670 The Score. I am Paul Pabst, your football friend on a Saturday morning as this football-less weekend, except for some Pro Bowl stuff, goes along. A little sad, football is winding up, but I'm pumped for the Super Bowl. Right after the show, your boy is heading down to New Orleans with the Dan Patrick Show. We'll be down there all week. The Score, by the way, is your home for the Super Bowl. You can hear it right here, Super Bowl Sunday, so don't forget. The Super Bowl is set. It's going to be a Super Bowl. It should be a fantastic Super Bowl. Over-under is 48.5. Kansas City's given 1.5. That sets up to be a high-scoring, close game. Vegas knows what they're doing. It's a great Super Bowl city. You might not have wanted Chiefs versus Eagles. You may have wanted some new blood in there, Commanders or Bills, but that's not the case. Should be a great game. We're going to talk about those two teams. We're going to New Orleans right after the show. And New Orleans, if you've never been there, especially for Super Bowl week, is a one seed of Super Bowl host cities. It's a big city with lots of neighborhoods, big convention center, lots of hotels, unbelievable food. I can't say enough about the food in New Orleans. We talked about it last week, but find great places to eat down there. It's a great city. The Super Bowl cities, by the way, Indianapolis was a great city. They had fantastic weather. I loved Super Bowl week in Indianapolis, a great walking city. Minneapolis a few years ago, more than a few, was a great city. It was cold, but what do you expect? Minneapolis was great. A lot coming up, but New Orleans is a one seed for Super Bowl cities. Coming up later on the show, joined by Andrew Perloff of Maggie and Perloff and Infinity Sports. He's going to help us co-host our inaugural Tailgate Football Awards. It's not first annual. It has to be second annual. I looked this up. It's the inaugural, word that's tough to say, Football Awards on the tailgate, 670 The Score with Andrew Perloff. That will be coming up in a little bit. But the Super Bowl is set. Again, the line is 1.5, the Chiefs giving to the Eagles. All the Chiefs do is play close games. We're going to preview the game hardcore next week. We'll be down in New Orleans with the tailgate live from the tailgate at the Media Center. The Eagles are interesting. We're going to get to them in a second, but it should be a close game. It should be a tight game. It should be a battle. I want to look for a second on how each team got here. The Eagles, if you look at the Eagles last year, they weren't in good shape. They ended the season poorly. Their last 10 games were a mess. Their coach, Nick Sirianni, was in danger of being fired. He had to dump a few coordinators and hire a few new ones to keep his own job. He was on a light hot seat, even though he was just off a Super Bowl a year before. The biggest thing, which is so obvious, what the Eagles did in the offseason was they added Saquon Barkley. And believe me, the buzz around Saquon Barkley right now was not similar to the buzz around him when they acquired him. It was a nice pickup. But Saquon was not a superstar. He was a superstar, but in 5 seasons in with the Giants, he had 2 really good seasons and then 3 seasons where he's banged up and wasn't on the field all the time. The Giants were in a tough situation. They had to pick up his contract. They had to pay him. And people in the NFL don't like paying running backs, and that might be changing. But Saquon Barkley, the New York Giants traded him. He went to the Eagles and just exploded this season. It actually started a little shaky. Remember that fumble early in the season? But the addition of Saquon, a breakaway back in his prime, here's the fallout from that for the Eagles. They were able to ask less of Jalen Hurts. I think Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback. I don't know if he's a great quarterback. I don't know if he's a great passing quarterback. He's a leader. He's tough. He runs very well, passes pretty well. But Hurts threw 100 less pass attempts this year. That's a good sign. Actually, I want my quarterback to throw less. If your quarterback's throwing 600 times a season, you're probably losing. The old Matt Stafford days and with the Lions, he used to throw 600 times a season. Jalen Hurts threw 100 times less this season, and they were way better. Jalen Carter, oh boy, the Bears passed on him. And the defensive line was fantastic. One thing about the Giants trading Saquon Barkley to the Eagles, this is one of the biggest no-goes in sports. You never trade a possible great player or a player that you no longer want that could be a great player to someone that could hurt you, to the Eagles. You have to trade Saquon Barkley to anybody else but the Eagles if you're a New York Giant. That will live in New York Giant infamy that he went there, especially if Saquon wins a Super Bowl next week. It's very possible. He should be the MVP. We'll talk about that a little bit later. How the Chiefs got here. The Chiefs never go away. 7 straight AFC title games. All they do is retool every year. It reminds me of the Patriots a decade ago, 15 years ago. As long as we have a good defense in Brady, we'll figure out the rest. The Patriots used to have like Danny Amendola and Julian Edelman and Wes Welker and rinse and repeat. Let's bring in Randy Moss for a year. Let's bring in this guy. Let's bring in that guy. But they would never spend on the running back position. They would never spend on the wide receiver position. The Chiefs a couple of years ago, they let Tyreek Hill go in his prime. They said, we can't pay this guy $30 million a year. We'll figure it out. We have Mahomes and a good defense, a very good defense. We'll figure it out. So the Chiefs this year, they just retooled. They added Xavier Worthy out of Texas, a burner. They brought back Kareem Hunt. He wasn't playing football. He's their starting running back, and he was out of football like 12 weeks ago. Isaiah Pacheco, really good running back, runs hard. He was hurt. He's back. Now they have both of them for the Super Bowl. Pacheco was a 7th round pick out of Rutgers. They haven't even paid him yet. That guy makes $800,000 a year to be the starting running back of the Chiefs. And then the defense. The Chiefs have really turned into, or I would say over the past 2 or 3 years, have turned into a defensive-first team. We all focus on Mahomes and Kelsey. Well, that's easy. But Mahomes isn't throwing 50 touchdowns anymore. He's throwing like 27, which is fine, but it's not Mahomesian. Chris Jones, still probably the most underrated player in football, the defensive lineman for the Chiefs. When I have to say defensive lineman for the Chiefs, that's why I know he's not a household name. To me, he's as good as any player in football and as good as any player I'd want on my team. But the Chiefs, they're a defensive first team. They get the ball to Mahomes late and he'll clean it up. If it's close, he'll clean it up. They survived the Bills game. That's the way I'm going to look at it. Mahomes got them downfield in the AFC title game. He only scored 3. He didn't score 7. The Bills had the ball back with 3:30 to go and 3 timeouts. That's exactly, if you're a Bills fan, you're like, fantastic. Josh Allen, 3 timeouts, 3:30. We could meander down the field. We could run the ball for a few plays. We could run the ball to the 2-minute warning, see if we're at the 50, and then ramp up the offense. You have tons of time. It didn't work out. We could talk a little bit about how they didn't work out with the spots and stuff like that. We'll get to that in a second, but the Bills had the Chiefs. But it seems like everybody has the Chiefs. It's so close to losing every game. And then it works out. If I'm an Eagles fan, I want a nice 17-point lead going into the fourth quarter. I can't see it happening, but even with that, I wouldn't be comfortable against Patrick Mahomes. All right, don't forget. Oh, this is kind of cool. Robbie, check this out. The Slam Dunk in Vegas, a national contest that's easy to enter. Just download the Odyssey app, log in and listen to the score each day for a minimum of 1 hour. That's easy. I do that in the morning with Hall and Mully. And your daily entry for a chance to win this unforgettable trip for four. The first weekend of the tournament in March. March in Vegas for the NCAA tournament. Oh, fantastic. Stay at the Circa Resort and Casino where you can visit the biggest March hoops party at Stadium Swim. Airfare included, plus $20,000 to fund the ultimate viewing experience in Vegas. The Slam Dunk in Vegas. Try it out now. I want to look at the two losing teams from the AFC and NFC title game because they're both interesting in two different ways. The Commanders, all is well. The Commanders, I'd like to say they're playing with house money, bringing up Vegas. The Commanders overachieved this year. They got Jalen Daniels. They have a good defense. They have a good offense. They have a coach. They have a new president. They have a new owner. It seems like everything is going great for the Commanders. Didn't work out so well in the NFC title game, but they were in it. A couple turnovers here and there, and it could have been a really nice game, but it wasn't. The score doesn't really match to me what the game was. The Commanders' future is so bright, so fantastic. If I'm a Commanders fan, I get over that loss in a couple days. Most losses in an NFC title game, you're like, oh, that might be our chance. Now, you can make the case. I can go back to, you know, 03 Cubs. We'll be back. Wooden Pryor. No, sorry to bring that up. But the Commanders feel like a team that should be relevant for the next 5 or 6 years, competitive for the next 5 or 6 years, without really changing much, maybe some additions on defense. Now to the Bills. The Bills lose the AFC title game, and they lost it in an ugly fashion. As I said, they had that game a number of ways. We could talk about a couple bad spots by the refs, which I think were bad spots, but you put your yourself in position to have those bad spots by having fourth and ones, right? Again, 3 minutes and 30 seconds to go with three timeouts. The Bills had the ball and could control their own destiny. They could have run down the clock, scored, and made sure Patrick Mahomes didn't get the ball back. You didn't do it. If I'm a Bills fan, I don't know if I could handle this offseason. It's cold up there, as we know. It's cold in Chicago, but it's a different cold when you lose the AFC title game in painful fashion. If you're a Bills fan, you probably had tickets to New Orleans. You probably had hotels in New Orleans. You thought you were going. And now you have to sit there. And here's the thing. If you're an old school Chicago fan, again, I'm an old school Chicago fan. This is a score, 670 the score. Paul Papps, this is the Tailgate. Very old school show. You remember what it's like to be a Bulls fan in the 90s. What was it like to be a Knicks fan in the 90s or a Cleveland Cavaliers fan in the 90s, watching Michael Jordan go again and again and again? And you're thinking, if you're a Patrick Ewing Knicks fan, are we ever going to get past this guy? And the answer was no. He had to leave the sport for you to get past him. That's what it feels like right now if you're a Bills fan. You look at Patrick Mahomes, who's 29. He's not going anywhere. He's healthy. He's in his prime. Andy Reid's not going anywhere. If you're a Bills fan, it feels like you need one. If you could get one and it felt like that was your chance. All right. That's a tough one, but that's what the two AFC and NFC teams, that's what happened last year. And don't forget, NFL fans, Homage has the softest throwback apparel hoodies. If you're a Chiefs fan, if you're an Eagles fan, get your hoodie for the game. You got a week. It'll get there. Head to homage.com and use my code tailgate for 15% off your first order. Homage.com, HOMAGE.com. Pay homage, 15% off your first order with tailgate. I want to do a couple minutes on the Bears here before we get to our big awards coming up next. Andrew Perloff will join the tailgate. 670 score in about 5 minutes. The Bears had a fantastic month. This month is the last. Is this February? Is this January? I think it's February. It was a fantastic month for Bears. Now, not on the field because they weren't on the field, but Ben Johnson, you get Dennis Allen as a defensive coordinator. I love getting Antoine Randall-El. I'm an old school Southside basketball fan. I remember watching him at Thornton, rolling. He was a fantastic football and basketball player at Thornton on the Southside. You get a 28-year-old offensive coordinator. It's going so well that we're not even questioning that. When I was 28, I was bartending and working weekends at CBS Sports in New York City, and I thought I was doing pretty well, Robbie. I don't know what, Robbie, what you were doing at 28. Are you 28 now?
I just turned 29 about a month ago. So at the age of 28, I was working at 670 The Score, so I feel very jealous about this individual. He's an offensive coordinator.
In big picture, though, you have a really cool job compared to most people. I had a really cool job working at CBS Sports at age 28 and bartending on the side. I don't think that Declan Doyle's going to have to bartend in Lakeview to make ends meet. He's going to be fine. But what a great month for the Bears. You got everybody you wanted. The coaches are there. Now get ready for the offseason. As we talked about last week with the offseason with the Bears, free agency, draft, you know, sign a guard, sign a defensive tackle, sign a center. I will get excited. I don't care if you don't sign a wide receiver or a cornerback or a running back. That's fine. Get a running back in round four of the draft. Get a running back in round five. Look at Isaiah Pacheco, round seven. That's my running back policy, round four or after. I can't wait for the draft when the first pick of the Bears is a guard. I'll be the first guy up there pumping my fist. Or in round two, a defensive tackle and a defensive end. Great. I was watching the Senior Bowl, and there was some dude named, I can't remember his name, but he was from Marshall. He was a defensive tackle, and he pushed the offensive guard back into the backfield. I was like, we got to get this guy. I was freaking out watching the Senior Bowl. But that's where the Bears offseason is. You have skill position players. You have your quarterback. You have a lot of good things on defense. Build around the line. Look at what Patrick Mahomes did. They protected him. Look at what the Eagles did. The offensive defensive line. That's why they're in the Super Bowl. A lot to get to today. A lot to get to coming up. But up next, the inaugural Tailgate Awards. A bit non-traditional, a little snarky. We're joined by Andrew Perloff, my former coworker on the DP show. He now co-hosts Maggie and Perloff on the Infinity Sports Network. That's next. This is The Tailgate. I'm Paul Pabst, 670 The Score.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
I love football. Love it. Love it.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Back on The Tailgate, I'm Paul Pabst, 670 The Score. In 2 minutes, we're going to have our inaugural, I can never say that word, NFL Awards. You can't say first annual. I'm going to get to Andrew Perloff in a minute because he's going to correct me because he knows stuff like this. But it can't be the first annual Tailgate Awards. It has to be the inaugural. Nailed that. Awards. And a couple weeks from now, I love college football. We're going to talk college football, but right now it's all NFL. But when we talk college football in a couple weeks on the show, I think I should be the college football czar. I'd like to apply for this job. I watch about 15 hours of college football on an average Saturday. I have three things we could fix it. 5 years of eligibility, work on the transfer portal rules. That's obvious. And a centralized scheduling office to avoid cupcake games. Easy fix. We'll get to that. But let's bring in our guest joining us now in the tailgate, longtime friend, former co-worker on the Dan Patro, now co-host of Maggie and Perloff on Infinity Sports Network. He's Andrew Perloff, the Pearl. Pearl, welcome back to the tailgate.
Yeah, if you can get that cupcake scheduling thing fixed, Paulie, first of all, you have my vote. You know that I've already voted for you for college football czar. Make it happen, dude.
I think I could do it. I'm only like two-thirds kidding on this one. You know how seriously I take college football. And if you give me like a notebook, a pen, and someone, a couple of smarter people, I could put together a schedule that would double the ratings.
But you've seen those HBO Real Sports. They're these powerful old men who control these things. They get something out of it that are invested in keeping the system the way it is.
So I got to get a little older and a little more rich, and then I could be in charge. All right, let's get to a Perloff. Before we get to the awards, I want to get to the first. It wouldn't be first annual. It'd be second annual, correct?
What?
Because I think the first one can't be annual because nothing's been done yet. So it's got to be the inaugural.
It's inaugural. Okay, but you're right. Inaugural is really hard to say.
Hard to say, harder to spell, but we're going to knock out this segment. Before we get to the awards, and we have some fun ones, some snarky ones, not shocking with you and I, what is the national perception of the Bears since the season ended?
Home run. I mean, they got the guy. Ben Johnson is the guy that every team tried to get, and the Bears landed him. And I got to tell you, I thought it got dicey because you had Tom Brady calling in Vegas, Trevor Lawrence sitting in Jacksonville. If Jacksonville had fired Trent Baalke, their GM, a little earlier, maybe Ben Johnson would have gone there. I was nervous for your Bears. So, I mean, they got the guy. And then I know you never know with a new coach hire. I feel like this is the closest to when the Rams got McVay or when the Niners got Shanahan. I'd be shocked if this didn't work, at least offensively.
Yeah, that's how I feel, and I think most Bears fans feel, is rarely do they win the offseason to this level. Mm. Like, when you get the draft pick, that kind of falls into your lap. But the perception nationally, I think, and locally, of the Bears is that they don't spend, and they spent or overspent for Ben Johnson. But I'm of the thinking, Perloff, if I'm going to spend $9 million for a coach, why not spend $12.5 million?
Yeah. Oh, my God. You spend $28 million on a number two receiver now in today's NFL. Right. Coaches are underpaid. I mean, they make your other investments worth more. So you pay $13 million. That's nothing. I am 100% with you.
We used to joke about this, you and I, when we discussed, you know, the stories would come out that Nick Saban's contract, he's making $11 million and they're buying him a car and a house and a dealership. Like, Nick Saban is the biggest bargain in sports in the past 20 years.
Yeah. Maybe Bill Belichick with the Patriots. That's the only argument I could give you. But 100%. He made so much more than that money. I mean, there are a lot of bad college football deals, guys with $50 million buyouts who went 3-8. Yeah. But Saban was a no-brainer. Now, I mean, there's risk. Let's be honest. There's no guarantee it's going to work. You and I have been doing this long enough. The guy that people are most excited for often doesn't work out. Then, like, the Eagles hire Doug Peterson and he wins the Super Bowl. You never know for sure.
And the Bears got an offensive coordinator. I don't know much about this guy. He's from the Broncos. What do you know about this guy?
I know that he's way too young to be an offensive coordinator in the NFL, and he makes me feel incredibly old. Declan, I know nothing. 28. What is going on here? That, okay. I would give, if I did an offseason report card, A plus for getting Ben Johnson, B for a 28-year-old. Like, he's hiring Ben Johnson's already young as is. He's bringing in another younger guy. That was confusing.
I thought the
age thing is hard to match.
Big disagreement. By the way, Declan Doyle sounds like a character in The Commitments, that great Irish movie. Secondly, it makes Ben Johnson look older than he is and more veteranish. And thirdly, if there's a thing as thirdly, Declan Doyle is probably one of those guys who knows, I don't really have a lot of say in this offense. I'm going to put some icing on the cake, come up with some plays, but Ben Johnson's running things. But if I could hitch my wagon to Ben Johnson, I now can be the blank, blank coach in 3 years.
Well, I get it from his standpoint, but if this guy's not going to call plays, then why not get an old guy who has some experience, some game management experience? Here's what I'm scared about. A lot of young coordinators come in and they have no idea how to manage a game.
Right.
Aren't you worried that that's going to happen? I mean, Dennis Allen's no better at it. Trust me, I've seen Dennis Allen screw up a bunch of games.
Very snarky coming up. Let's get to our awards. I'm going to go traditional. Your league MVP and your reasoning.
Saquon Barkley, Philadelphia Eagles. Reasoning is Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen are the two front runners, right? Mm-hmm. Lamar won it last year. You cannot give him another MVP without playoff success. It's the way the rules are. Josh Allen's production was significantly down this year. You can't give him the MVP year when the Bills say, we don't trust the passing game, so you're going to be conservative. So that doesn't make any sense. Saquon Barkley was the difference maker.
I'm with you on this. Yeah, I knew you were going to take this.
Yeah,
Josh Allen had a cleaner year, less turnovers, but the numbers weren't eye-popping. Yeah. And at the end of the season, they became a run-first team, and you can't give it to him. I think Saquon Barkley's year is almost underrated. To run for 2,000 yards in this NFL, when everyone knows you're getting the ball, is like, to me, a quarterback throwing for 60 touchdowns or 6,000 yards.
Yep.
He should be a unanimous MVP. He changed the Eagles. The level of threat they are, that they could use Jalen Hurts less as a runner and less as a passer, and which actually opens up the passing game, it's like a triple. Now, you and I probably both agree on this one. The guy who should have got an MVP vote, Jahmyr Gibbs of the Lions.
Oh, he's the best. The only problem with him is you have to compare him to Saquon. I'm going to say it in Philly fan. I think he's a better running back than Saquon. He's like an electric eel. He is incredible. He is my 1980s running back reincarnated. Even more than, he is Marcus Dupree, Barry Sanders, Billy Sims. He is those guys.
To me, he kind of reminds me of, remember Robert Smith, the really good runner who came out of Ohio State?
Robert Smith was like
a track guy. But imagine if Robert Smith had a little more slash and a little more power and the speed. It's like if you took Robert Smith and gave him more traditional running back skills.
I think that once Robert Smith started running on a straight line, forget it. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Track running.
I think that Gibbs is like Robert Smith, but can move side to side. Not quite Barry Sanders, but he could do those side cuts very well too. So he's Robert Smith plus.
Okay, let's go to surprise team in the NFL this year. I'll go first. Surprise team in a good way, because we often go negative on this show. I will go with the Denver Broncos. I like Bo Nix. I liked his college experience. I did not see it being this good this fast. And I'm also hearing they're considering going back full-time to the old-time uniforms. I'm not reporting that. I'm hearing, not reporting. What are your thoughts on that and your team?
Yeah, no, I thought the Broncos were going to be – I thought they were tanking this year. Not tanking. I thought this was a rebuild year because they're still in salary cap hell because of Russell Wilson. So you thought they weren't going to do anything. But bam, Sean Payton figures it out and they have a winning record. I didn't think they were dangerous in the playoffs, but you're right. I actually wrote something about how it's going to be uncomfortable for Payton if he's 5-12. Man, was I wrong. But – I got to tell you, as big a surprise, weren't you more surprised by the Commanders? I mean, that would be my team.
Yeah. I think maybe I've gotten used to the Commanders because they've been doing it all season, and they didn't just pop up midseason. But yes, they had 4 wins last year, and they didn't change their roster that drastically.
Yeah, that's my pick. Jaden Daniels is great, but even I didn't think the defense was going to be good. God bless Dan Quinn. They were terrible last year. I thought that team would be awful. I thought Jaden would be good and the Commanders would be awful. But hey, if they didn't have those 3 fumbles against the Eagles, they might have been right there in that game. They're a very good team.
I'm so with you. I think that would have been a bit of a shootout in the fourth quarter if it wasn't for those fumbles, but they happened. Okay, most disappointing team, you go first.
Okay, my most disappointing team. I'm going obvious chalk on this one. What happened to our 49ers? I know McCaffrey didn't play, but I thought they finally show life on defense again. I haven't seen a team. Last year was just a slow decline. I know the Super Bowl jinx. I didn't think it would be that obvious. That was terrible.
I'm going to go most disappointing team is the Atlanta Falcons. Bijan Robinson, Kirk Cousins, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, decent defense. All Kirk Cousins had to do was play B-level football this year, and they would have been in the playoffs.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I was so sure they were going to make the playoffs. That was the easiest pick. And Cousins, I like Cousins personally, and I kind of root for him. They should have gone to Penix earlier because Cousins wasn't himself on that leg. Penix looked great. Hey, one thing, at least they have Penix. You know,
We all have Penix, if you know what I mean. And you love Kirk Cousins' dressing style. I think that's what you love most
about. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
Modeled your whole college career.
I see him on the aisle at Kohl's.
Most underrated NFL player 2024 season. I have two. You go first.
I am nominating James Conner of the Arizona Cardinals for this. Mm. Dude, I mean, talk about a guy who came back from cancer. That dude runs so hard. And the Cardinals, you know, they're always in the 4 o'clock Eastern window.
Yeah.
And they don't mean as much. But that guy gave 100%. And when the Cardinals won, you could pretty much guarantee, look at the box score, he had a big game. So many big games this year. Kind of fell off at the end, but man, he was great.
Yeah, that's a good call. It's funny because he's got a great story, but does not get enough coverage for it because he's in Arizona. He kind of runs like Larry Johnson. The running back.
Yeah, I like that comp.
A bunch of years ago. Physical. I have a tie this year. Unfortunately, even though there's only one person voting, I somehow have a tie for most underrated NFL player. Nico Collins of the Texans, when he's out, they're not threatening. He's really good. And I don't think he's ever going to get the 115 catch season because when Diggs is healthy and Tank Dell's healthy, he's going to be like 85 catches. Secondary, this guy is probably a three-time winner of underrated player. Terry McLaurin, the wide receiver from the Commanders. He's first team all. I'd love to have that guy my team guy.
But are you sure that he's not recognized as underrated so often that he's going to become rated?
Are you calling him properly rated?
He's getting there because he became a bit of a star in the postseason. He is great. I love both those calls.
All right, we'll take Terry McLaurin. He unfortunately does not win the award this year. He's now properly rated, which is a compliment, but you can't put it on your shelf. Let's get to NFL team. This is the hot spots for us because this the preview stuff, we don't care about. The NFL team that most needs a uniform revamp, you go first.
I'm not a fan of the New England Patriots. I want them to go Pat the Patriot. Like, for some reason,
sounds like you're saying something wrong there when you say that phrase, by the way.
Oh.
Pat the Patriot.
Oh, yeah. But
I think in New England, that's a double entendre for something.
Oh, geez, Louise. We're talking about like the Patriot missile. Anyway, like the 90s, there were a bunch of bad uniforms. I think of the Carolina Panthers. I think of the old Jags. I think of the Patriots. The Patriots have never really evolved out of that awful 90s
look. Right.
So I mean, there are other teams that people say are bad. I think the Patriots have been, you know, steadily bad. And I think it's reflecting on the field in the last few years.
Yeah, I think everyone's with you on that. That's no doubt. I'm taking them off the board. They were one of mine that I loved. I'm going to go with your Eagles. The Eagles.
What?
Your Eagles uniforms. It's tough because when you have a good team, no one complains about your uniforms. But their green is so muted and muddled. It bothers me. But I'm going to let you go on this one. Oh, go ahead.
Well, what about the Kelly green, though? The alternate green.
They're so good. I can't even look at them because it burns my retinas. They're that good.
Got it.
I love the Kelly green. They should go back full time. I'm going to go with the Washington Commanders, and here's why. Their uniforms aren't necessarily awful. They're a bit mishmashy with the different stripes and buttons and different things on them and different color Commanders. But I have the feeling they're not going to stay the Commanders that long. When you're playing this well, you have to brand your uniform because when you have Jaden Daniels, the next 6 or 7 years looks great. You want to look great on and off the field. And they could do so with our help.
What do you think of the Ravens? I'm not sure they've nailed it.
No, the Ravens, I think I've always liked their helmets. I've never loved their uniforms. Purple's a cool color with the gold.
Yeah, the color black and purple's cool. It's not all working for me.
No, but what happens again is when you're a quality team, people don't complain about the uniforms that often. So people just ignore it and wink at it because there's nothing to complain about. All right, how about if I'm taking the Chargers off the board, currently the best uniform in the NFL is, I'll go first.
Please.
It's weird. I don't love the 49ers two colors. I don't like gold and that scarlet red, those colors standalone. But on a sunny day at 4:25, when I turn on those 49ers games, God, they look good.
I love it. It's classic. I mean, I like old school, and it's old school, but it works in a modern world.
Yep.
I'm going with a bit of an alternate. Is that permitted?
Oh, permitted.
I just Googled image it again so I can run. The all-white Green Bay Packers uniform should be hung in the Louvre. Dude, it is ridiculous. It is so nice. I mean, listen, I know the all-white Bengals helmet is cool. Mm. The all-white Packers, I know Packers are iconic and, you know, have history, but, man, when they go to that all-white with the green and the yellow, it is gorgeous.
It is weird because as a Bears fan, and you're talking to a Bears audience right now, it is hard to admit that the Packers uniforms have always been good-looking, but I've always thought they're good-looking. I love the Bears, but I think the entire NFC North, the Lions with the Honolulu blue, they sometimes go a little squirrely with those all-white-on-white pants and socks. It looks like they're wearing, like, yeah. I love the blue. I don't like the white-on-white pants, socks, where it looks like they're wearing pajamas, the Lions.
Did your audience know the Magic Man story?
No. Go ahead.
That your mom bought you a starter jacket for Don Majkowski, the Packers quarterback?
Yeah, is this true? Yeah, this is true. Again, you're listening to Paul Papst and Andrew Perloff, 670, the score of the tailgate. My mother used to get confused when she'd go to Lincoln Mall in Chicago Heights. And one Christmas, she bought me a Ron Jaworski Eagles jersey right after he retired. By the way, so I had to walk, and it was like a real one, Pearl. And I had to walk to school with this thing on. I'm surprised I didn't get run over by the school bus. And then I think it was the year before that or 2 years before, I asked for a jacket. Like they were from Sears, and they had these leather arms and like the felt in the middle. They looked like Letterman's jackets, but they were NFL teams. I clearly asked for a Bears one. I mean,
of course,
I'm from the South Side. I didn't even have to ask. It was just assumed. My mother, God bless her, got confused and bought me a Green Bay Packers starter-ish jacket, and she made me to wear it out. I almost got egged, like you know, egg someone's house. I almost got egged by the neighborhood kids.
Yeah, I mean, you might be walking to school, and Wilbur Marshall might take you out by accident, just think you're the Magic Man.
Yeah, deservedly so. Okay, before we get done here, you're an Eagles guy, but I want you to go as objective as you can. Your Super Bowl prediction. I'll go first. I think this is gonna be a fantastic Super Bowl. Okay. I wouldn't be surprised if last team with the ball has it and it's 38-38. I think the Eagles are so much better than last year with their running game, and they're not a team that's going to, I don't think, flinch in the face of the almighty Chiefs. So I'm actually going Eagles in overtime, 41-38. You're up.
Whoa, I love it. So you're expecting a game similar 2 years ago at Glendale where both offenses go off. I think it's a little more defensive. I think it's so much like the Bills game where the Eagles play the Bills role. The Chiefs game managed so well there in the game. They're going to get the ball with 3 minutes left, and the Eagles are going to desperately need to stop them on third and four. And Mahomes is going to find some running back crossing in the middle of the field in the flat. They're going to run out the clock, 29-26 Chiefs.
So I think what you're doing here is as an Eagles guy, even though you're an objective media member, you're picking the Chiefs. So it's a pleasant surprise if your Eagles win.
Yeah, kind of, yes. But also too, I think it's going to be a very close game, just like you. Logic says Mahomes wins a close game. I mean, there's enough history here that it's not just the emotional hedge here. It's also kind of like I'm just picturing the game play out close like you are. How the Eagles would win a close game, that just doesn't feel like it's going to go down with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I think this is the year it's different. I think the Eagles are really primed, and I think the Chiefs are just a little too vulnerable. And I'm telling you, Josh Allen had the ball with 3:30 and three timeouts. They didn't close with that last drive by getting a touchdown. Lastly, you and I are both taking off after the show to go to New Orleans. Yeah. Over under how much weight I put on in New Orleans and
Palo. Oh, dude. We're talking po' boys. We're talking those desserts at Cafe whatever, Olay.
Beignets.
You're talking Cachon three times a day at least. Yeah, sandwich shop. I'll be right there with you. Real quick, can I just share one quick Super Bowl memory with you? Do you remember when we were in Minnesota and we got caught in a random conversation with Patrick Mahomes for a good like 6 or 7 minutes? Hey, guys, what you doing? No one to talk to. He just ended up talking to us.
So the backstory on this quickly is it was during Super Bowl week, and a lot of athletes go and they get paid. Mahomes hadn't been paid yet, even though he was a first-round pick. So it was the day before they traded Alex Smith to the Washington Commanders. Mm. Patrick Mahomes was the second-string quarterback of the Chiefs. We're at the Mall of America. We're doing some radio stuff for Dan Patrick's show. And there's Mahomes waiting to go on some local radio show. And he saw us and recognized us from the day before on the Dan Patrick show. And he walks to us, hey, guys. And he didn't know our names, but he's like, we're just making idle time. Like, hey, man, those are nice shoes. He goes, yeah, my agent told me to get new shoes because people are going to like recognize me and I got to have dressed nice. And you're like, what kind of other is Florsheim? Yeah. It was the most mundane conversation. And he's like 6 months from being the biggest athlete in America.
Yeah. And I think I honestly, maybe I'm naive. I think Patrick Mahomes is still kind of that guy. I don't think he's a super fancy guy. I think he'd be pretty fine to talk to.
He still has those brown shoes. Perloff, thanks for joining us. See you in New Orleans. I appreciate it.
I love it, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Up next, it's our pub and grub of the week. The week ahead in New Orleans, food-wise and social-wise, and the Bears fan morale meter. All this and more. This is The Tailgate. I'm Paul Pabst, 670 The Score.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
You're supposed to be a professional.
We'll work harder than anybody to win. But man, when we're dead tired in the fourth quarter, winning's got to mean more than just money.
They're hired to do a job.
Job! Job! I don't want no job. I want to play football. I want some feeling. I want some team spirit.
This ain't no high school. You don't have to love each other to play.
It's just what I mean, you bastard. Every time I call it a game, you call it a business. And every time I call it a business, you call it a game.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Back on The Tailgate, 670 The Score, 8 days into the Super Bowl. I'm Paul Pabst, your host. I'm getting ready to shove off to New Orleans. Shove off. You don't do that on a plane. I'm actually taking a plane to New Orleans right after the show is done. And don't forget, Super Bowl, if you're in the Super Bowl and you love homage gear, get your gear for the Eagles. Get your gear for the Chiefs. Get some hoodies. Get ready for the Super Bowl by getting some homage gear. Homage.com, H-O-M-A-G-E. And if your team is not in the Super Bowl, like most of our teams aren't, drown out your sorrows by getting some homage gear. Tailgate. Use the code TAILGATE for 15% off your first order. Some exclusions apply. I don't know what those exclusions are, but they apply. Homage, H-O-M-A-G-E.com. Pay homage. It's time for our pub and grub of the week. We do it every week on the Tailgate 670 The Score. When we look at a place in the Chicago or Chicagoland area, which some people say that goes to Rockford, I don't. Uncle John's Sports Bar and Grill, 6542 Joliet Road, Countryside, Illinois. Never been there. I got four different people who hit me up on social media and said, this place is super old school. Really good beer prices. You got me there. A fun staff, great menu. Check it out. They said the staff is a lot of fun. I'm in with that. 6542 Joliet Road in Countryside. That's Uncle John's Sports Bar and Grill. I don't know who his uncle he is, but I guess he's got a great sports bar. Now, here's a little topic. Do you go to a sports bar to watch the Super Bowl? I don't know if enough people do that anymore. I think it's more of a stay-at-home, go-to-parties type thing because the danger of going to a sports bar to watch a Super Bowl is how many TVs? Are they all on it? Or does some person ask, hey, can you put on the Georgetown game, some random college basketball game that's on? You know, also the volume. Is the volume up? Is the volume down? And plus, when you go to a sports bar for the Super Bowl, there's a lot of novices at the sports bar. Are they going too hard, too early, and you're just trying to focus on the game? I like a small gathering of people who know football. I'm a little bit of an elitist with this. If I have a Super Bowl party, I never invite my brother-in-laws. I'm not going to say which ones, but there's two of them who really don't know football. And they'll ask me a question like, oh, Russell Wilson, he's not on the Seahawks anymore. I'm like, no, that was 3 years ago. Oh, the Steelers. What happened to Ben Roethlisberger? He retired a few years back. It drives me crazy. So my brother-in-laws love him, don't love him on Super Bowl Sunday. A couple other things, Super Bowl week. The Super Bowl as an American holiday, people have suggested in the past that you move the Super Bowl to Saturday night and then you have Sunday off. You could stay up later. You could party a little more. You can go to parties a little more. You could live it up a little more during the Super Bowl on a Saturday night because you don't have to work on a Sunday. They're not going to do that. They don't mess with tradition. It's Super Bowl Sunday. I can't see the NFL ever changing this. Can the NFL lobby the American government to make Monday a holiday? I think that's more likely. If they came to a vote and you make Monday the Super Bowl holiday and gets me a day off work, which I wouldn't get because I work on the Dan Patrick Show, people to score, you wouldn't get that day off either. But maybe you and the public could get a day off for the Super Bowl. Who knows? A couple other things to hit. Enjoying the Chiefs. A lot of people seem bothered about that the Chiefs are here again. Like, oh, I'm sick of the Chiefs. I don't know if anyone's really sick of the Chiefs as much as you're sick of the Chiefs coverage because they do get covered and overcovered a lot. But when I was a kid, the team that was the heavyweight champ in the NFL was the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they won four Super Bowls in 6 years. So that's a true dynasty. I never felt sick of the Steelers. I actually felt like I liked them a lot. Of course, I was a Bears fan. Walter Payton, Bob Avellini, Mike Phipps, Vince Evans. We weren't that good back then. So watching the Steelers, it was fun to watch a really quality football team. My dad kind of liked the Steelers because you had to pick someone. Nobody picked the Cowboys in Chicago, and not a lot of people. And the Steelers were pretty likable, like tough guy likable. Jack Lambert, if you look up that guy, look up Terry Bradshaw. There's a lot of likable Steelers to have. I think the problem is social media and 24-hour sports. You get bombarded with Steelers or Chiefs coverage, Taylor Swift, the Kelseys, all that kind of stuff. But if you look at the Steelers back then, they were media superstars as well. Terry Bradshaw, their quarterback, He was in Burt Reynolds movies. He was in commercials all the time. They were very famous, but I don't think people got sick of the Steelers just because they're not overcovered like few things are overcovered in today's NFL. Okay, time for morale. Let's get back to the Bears a little bit. What a week for the Bears. Ben Johnson, you get Dennis Allen, was a head coach and a great defensive coordinator from the Saints. You got a offensive coordinator doesn't shave yet. Not true. Don't even know that as a journalist. I don't know that. You keep your special teams coach who seemed to have a very good year, Hightower. It really couldn't have been much of a better January for Bears fans. I don't know as a Bears fan how it could have gone better. And the other reason it went well for Bears fans this month is no NFC North team made the Super Bowl. That would have been a tough Super Bowl to watch if the Lions, even though we kind of like the Lions here, they got to win eventually like the Cubs. But if the Packers made it or the Vikings made it, I don't know how Bears fans could have enjoyed the Super Bowl at all. So morale meter right now, it was a 7.7. I'm going to give it a slight bump up to 7.9, holding back, not going to 9, not going to 8, I should say. But the Ben Johnson signing and everything afterwards, it's just been a fantastic month in February. Now, nothing on the field for Bears fans, but a lot of fun off the field. Next up, what they do in free agency. I was looking at different websites for the free agents, and a lot of people get excited about free agents that are running backs and defensive backs and maybe edge rushers. Bears fans have to get excited about signing a guard or a tackle or a center. To me, if I wake up in a couple of weeks and the Bears sign the best center prospect of the free agent class, I'm going to have a parade just around my house with my kids. But that's what I want to see. And I think that's what everyone here wants to see with the Bears this offseason. Build around the defensive line and offensive line. You've got tons of skill position players. If you need a run back, grab one in the fourth round of the draft. Or get someone like Derrick Henry for $7 million a year. Or Saquon Barkley for $11 million a year. How'd that work out for those two teams? So for the offseason with the Bears, linemen, linemen, linemen. Third and fourth round, get yourself some running backs and defensive backs and things like that. A couple tips as I get ready to shove off for New Orleans. Again, this is Paul Papp, 670 Score, the tailgate. We talk food and football, not necessarily in that order. New Orleans is the one seed in America for food towns, for food cities. If you've never been there, go. I would maybe fast for a few days before you go so you could open up some room in the gut. But that is a unbelievable food town. It is not a health food town in any way. If you're going there looking to get shredded for summer, don't go. This is a place where you just get after it. I mean, okra. Look up crawfish etouffee. Look up gumbo. Look up poor boys. Grilled oysters. There's all types of places. Seafood, Cajun food. Don't get a burger. Don't get a steak. When you're in New Orleans, be local. Go local. Someone takes you to a steakhouse. As much as you love steak, you got to go to a Cajun place when you're in New Orleans. Don't get a burger. That's a waste of a meal in New Orleans. Go local. One other tip about New Orleans and eating. Everyone knows Bourbon Street. You see it on TV. Bourbon Street. Everyone's having a wild time, having a great time in Bourbon Street. That's a great area for drinking. It's a great area for living it up with your friends. It's a great area for getting arrested or maybe losing a ligament and a knee injury when you're running from the cops. But Bourbon Street is not the best area for restaurants. Like any place, any touristy place. You go to New York, don't eat in Times Square, right? You understand? Like Chicago, if you're going to eat on Michigan Avenue, well, you may want to go off the beaten path just a few blocks in different places. My number one recommendation in New Orleans, a place called Cochon, C-O-U-C-H-O-N. And behind it, they have a little sandwich shop called Butcher. Don't tell them I send you. It will not help you at all. But go to Cochon and Butcher. All right, before we wrap it up here, 670 The Score, tailgate. I was thinking about this. Who's going to have the rougher offseason, Lions fans or Bills fans? As much as the Lions have had a really rough year, if you go back to last year, the way they almost made it to the Super Bowl and then bowing out so early, it's really painful. But if I'm a Lions fan, I feel really confident, or at least 90% confident, that we'll be back in the mix, deeply in the mix next year. The NFC North is tough, but there's not a team in the NFC that the Lions can't get by this year, not last, next year. I would be a little more bummed if I was a Bills fan. You had the ball down 3 to Patrick Mahomes with 3.5 minutes left and 3 timeouts. This was it. It was on a tee. You could meander down the field with 3.5 and 3 timeouts if you're Josh Allen. They didn't run the ball enough. They got caught up with a tip pass that, you know, on a second down. And then that fourth down play where that blitz that Spagnuolo dialed up from the Chiefs just blew their doors off. And it was a shell shock. And I don't know if you guys remember, if you're an old school Bulls fan here, but if you remember what it's like to be a Cleveland Cavaliers fan or a Knicks fan in the late 80s and early 90s, I should say the 90s when Michael Jordan was dominating basketball, imagine being a Knicks fan going, how are we going to get past this guy? Or a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, like looking at Michael Jordan and say, I don't know how we get past this guy. That's what it must be like in the AFC with Patrick Mahomes right now. You got to get lucky. You need a turned ankle from Mahomes or a really off day. And he doesn't have those very often. So with the Chiefs, you have to find a way to get a lead and hold it. And the Bills didn't do it. And they had a couple chances. Did the refs help out the Chiefs? Yeah, a little bit. I don't know if it's subconscious or conscious. I think it's subconscious. But some of those spots I'm not friendly with. We talked about that earlier in the show. But they had their chance. 3.5 minutes the Bills fans had with 3 timeouts and Josh Allen with the ball. And you're running all over them. I think James Cook ran for 6.5 yards a carry that game. And they only gave him the ball 13 times. That's why you lost the game. All right. That's it for the tailgate this week. Another great show. We're running out of football. I'm getting a little sad, but I'm heading out to New Orleans after the show. I guarantee you 2 things. We're going to talk football next week on The Score with the tailgate show live from the media center in New Orleans. And I'm going to put on 7 pounds a week and make you proud of me. This is the tailgate. I'm Paul Pabst, 670 The Score.